Well, good morning, everybody. As Pietra said, our reading today is from Psalm 88. So if you can open and follow along with me. O Lord, the God who saves me, day and night, I cry out before you. May my prayer come before you. Turn your ear to my cry. For my soul is full of trouble, and my life draws near the grave. I am counted among those who go down to the pit. I am like a man without strength. I am set apart with the dead, like the slain who lie in the grave, whom you remember no more, who are cut off from your care. You have put me in the lowest pits, in the darkest depths. Your wrath lies heavily upon me. You have overwhelmed me with all your waves. You have taken from me my closest friends, and have made me repulsive to them. I am confined and cannot escape. My eyes are dim with grief. I call to you, O Lord, every day. I spread out my hands to you. Do you show your wonders to the dead? Do those who are dead rise up and praise you? Is your love declared in the grave with your faithfulness in destruction? Are your wonders known in the place of darkness, or your righteous deeds in the land of oblivion? But I cry to you for help, O Lord. In the morning, my prayer comes before you. Why, O Lord, do you reject me and hide your face from me? From my youth, I have been afflicted and close to death. I have suffered your terrors and am in despair. Your wrath has swept over me. Your terrors have destroyed me. All day long, they surround me like a flood. They have completely engulfed me. You have taken my companions and loved ones from me. The darkness is my closest friend. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you and good morning. It's a joy to be here again this morning and going through the psalm. I hope after reading that psalm, you're not wondering why on the earth did I come this morning. That's not the most encouraging thing I've ever heard, but it is God's word, and it is here for a purpose for us. Just a little bit of music trivia. As you read that last verse, verse 18, did a song come to mind? Anybody? You can answer. Hello, darkness, my old friend. That's right. The Sound of Silence. That song's a very somber, introspective, and contemplative song. It conveys a sense of isolation and alienation. In fact, the authors describe the song as a critique of modern society's disconnection and lack of meaningful communication, and hence the somber mood of that song. It's this kind of song that you picture being sung under dimmed lights. Well, Psalm 88 is also a song, but it's darker, perhaps best performed without the lights on, dispersed with the crack of lightning and thunder. I have two friends in ministry who listen to death metal. Have you ever heard death metal? It's the darkest type of music you could have, and perhaps Psalm 88 would be a death metal song. It's a unique psalm in that it offers no hope or light as you read it. It literally ends in the original Hebrew, darkness. That's how it ends. And the structure and the tone flows from an initial haze of light in verse 1. Lord, you are the God who saves me. Day and night I cry out to you. There's a glimmer of faith, but then it descends in ever-increasing shades of gray to the stark end in utter darkness. It's a roar, an honest and scarily true to life song for many, sometimes for short periods of life, and sometimes for long despairing seasons. And trudging through the psalm is like walking in mud, but we must press on because there is surprising comfort that we can draw from it. You see, this writer, Heman, we're told, is a son of Asaph. Heman himself is mentioned 16 times in 1 Kings 4. 14 times in 1 and 2 Chronicles, and of course in the title of this psalm. We know from the scriptures that he is a wise, talented, respected, and accomplished man of God. Someone who served in the temple courts. And so the psalm is relevant for us. Relevant because God didn't exclude Heman's horrible experience from the scriptures. And God doesn't exclude our horrible experiences from his world. You see, the reality is sometimes Christians go through really dark times. Dark times where they have no encouraging words to speak, but only to be in despair. Now, perhaps this morning you have come here and are in a particularly dark place in your season of life. Perhaps you're not in a dark place, but the scripture is always there to prepare us, for dark times, or to prepare us to encourage those who are in dark times. And so I pray that this psalm would do that for us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that you did not leave this world in darkness, but you entered it as the light of the world to bring hope and salvation. And Lord, you do not leave us in darkness, but you give us your word as a light unto our feet. And so we pray, Lord, that as we reflect on these words of your servant Heman, oh Lord, that you would speak to our hearts deeply. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we've got 4 points this morning. The first being the words of lived experience. This was Heman's lived experience as he speaks these words. And although we don't know the specific events or details surrounding his actual experience, we do see something of what he's going through and how he's feeling. Did you notice his lived experience? He's sleepless. Chapter 88, verse 1 and 2. Day and night I cry out to there, to you. There is restlessness in his words here. Verse 9, I call to you, Lord, every day. Verse 13, I cry to you, Lord. How often does our distress and despair affect our rest or our sleep? For some of us, insomnia settles in, and only an exhausted cry can be mustered to God. For others, being wide awake can only lead to a frustrated plea for relief. Perhaps for some, like I have experienced in my life, it's a restless sleep, disrupted by awakening moments when you realize that you're still in the darkness, that your situation hasn't changed. And so all you can muster is, Lord, please no more. Heman is sleepless and distressed. And he's overwhelmed with a sense of doom. Verse 3 and 4 and verse 15. Verse 3, I am overwhelmed with troubles and my life draws near to death. I am counted among those who go down to the pit. I am like one without strength. As such is his experience that he feels like death is drawing near. We can't be sure whether this is the case or whether the poetic hyperbole points to his distress and feelings of an impending death and therefore relief from his pain. But he does reiterate in verse 15, from my youth I have suffered and been close to death. We don't know whether he suffered with a debilitating disease or a constant sense of mental distress. Whatever it is, though, it's real to him. It's deep and it's distressing to the extent that we're told his eyes are dim with grief. Clouded with tears, he cannot see through the clouds. He's overwhelmed with grief-clouded eyes. That's his experience. He doesn't only have a sense of doom, but of being rejected and abandoned. Verse 8, you have taken me from my closest friends and have made me repulsive to them. Verse 18, you have taken from me friend and neighbor. Now, it's not surprising to hear that he has lost and broken relationships, because oftentimes in severe trial and darkness will come isolation. Sometimes because of conflict, sometimes because those looking in conclude the wrong things about this person. Perhaps even looking in, they don't want to enter into the mess. And so those who go through darkness can feel isolation. I tell you what, in dark times, one of the hardest realities is lost friendships, where the joy of life together is replaced by scorn and ridicule, misunderstanding, and a sense of abandonment, especially from those you didn't think would abandon you. He's friendless. He's isolated. Those who are looking in perhaps don't want to enter into his pain or his darkness. Perhaps they are trying to enter in, but he is isolating himself. Darkness, verse 18, is such a pain that it leaves the psalmist in a place of utter despair. Literally, verse 18, my only friend, darkness. I mean, how much worse can it get with only darkness to confide in and find comfort? See, such is his sense of darkness that he not only feels abandoned by friends, but he also feels abandoned by God. And here's the second point, words accusing God. God, I'm experiencing all of this, and he says it's because of you. Verse 6. You notice the repeated, you have put me in the lowest pit, in the darkest depths. Your wrath lies heavily on me. You have overwhelmed me with your waves. Verse 8, you have taken from me my closest friends and have made me repulsive to them. Verse 15, from my youth I have suffered and been close to death. I have borne your terrors and am in despair. Verse 16, your wrath has swept over me. Your terrors have destroyed me. All day long they surround me like a flood. They have completely engulfed me. You have taken from me friend and neighbor, and darkness is my closest friend. They're astonishing words to God, aren't they? As you read them, it feels somewhat irreverent. As some commentators even say that these words are blasphemous against God. Is this arrogance to speak to God? Is he being arrogant? Is he just ignorant? Has he theologically lost the plot and does not know what God is like or should be like? Well, the danger here is that we want to neatly label what's going on here. It's why I put a question mark in the point. What's really going on here? You see, we can't put this into a box. Because firstly, there is truth in what Heman is saying. See, theologically, he is spot on. God is sovereign over all of life. God is sovereign over all of life. Whatever place or experience we find ourselves in, God is in control of it. Not that everything that happens is directly by God's hand, but in the sense that God has allowed it. Remember Job? Remember Satan said to God that Job only worships you because he has all these good things? Satan says, let me have a go at him and see if he worships you. God's response to Satan, go ahead and do your best. See, God is sovereign. A human is not ignorant. He knows that ultimately God is sovereign in his distress. If he's facing death or disease or troubles or darkness and a loss of friends, God knows. And God has allowed it. You see, we also can't neatly label what's going on here because we, like human, do not know the mind of God in this situation. Is it God's wrath that is being poured out? Well, Heman thinks so, but he doesn't really know. And neither do we know God's purposes here and now when we're going through dark times. And this is often the case in our times of trouble. We ask why? Why? Because we don't know the mind of God and his purposes. In our darkness, in our despair, in our moments of weakness, in our broken relationships, we may be in darkness and not know why. But God does. God does. In our darkness, we will be questioning God. And that's the normal Christian experience. Third point, words questioning God, verse 9. I call to you, Lord, every day. I spread out my hands to you. Do you show your wonders to the dead? Do their spirits rise up and praise you? Is your love declared in the grave, your faithfulness in destruction? Are your wonders known in the place of darkness, or your righteous deeds in the land of oblivion? Basically saying, this is my paraphrase, Lord, here I am worshiping you, serving you in your temple, and what use will I be if I go to the grave? Because who is going to worship you then? Who's going to tell of your faithfulness and love and wonders? There's a hint of self-pity here. God, I've served you and loved you, and this is what I get? You know, in my self-righteousness, I want to judge human. But if I'm honest, I'm just like him. In my heart, I'm indignant towards God when life is hard, when it's difficult. Yes, I may not sing these words in church, but deep down, I may be questioning God. God, who are you after serving you for so long that you put me in this situation where I am in distress? I question God in the midst of difficulties. Am I the only one? Now, perhaps we don't say them out loud, but how often do we question what God has given to us to bear in this life? The words of this song are so raw and jarring to us because they actually do hit home to us. Oh, you may not have experienced the depth of darkness like this author or others, but if you're honest, the questioning and accusing God simmers in unspoken words. You may have experienced deep darkness and not spoken out loud words as jarring as these to God. But if your feelings and your deep unconsciousness were automatically transcribed to a Word document, you would read things just like this. You would read things just like this. Of course, God doesn't need a transcribed for him to know what we're going through. He knows and he sees. And friends, herein is one of the wonderful comforts of this psalm. Although Heman feels rejected by God, God is not absent. God caused these words to be recorded for us. God wants us to see that faith and relationship with him is not sugar-coated. It's not sugar-coated. And we see this in Heman's words that are rooted in faith, the final point. Words rooted in faith. See, the shock of this psalm may cause us to miss the obvious, that these are words to God. Yes, he feels like God has abandoned him. Yes, he feels like throwing all sorts of complaints to God. But he's actually talking to God. He's engaging God, even if he can't hear a response. See, friends, faith is looking to the one who you know can help. Verse 1, Lord, you are the God who saves me. Oh, be clear, he doesn't feel like it, but he knows. If Heman had abandoned his faith, he wouldn't be engaging God in this darkness. But he is. And although there is hopelessness to his words, they are tied to God by faith. See, because friends, faith is not measured by how appropriate our language is when speaking to God. It's not assessed by how clean-cut and pious we are in the midst of our distress. No, faith is not about how much you have, but who it is in. The object of your faith is what is the measure of your faith. The author's faith was simply in God. Not in what he could see, because if it was, he would be hopeless. Not in what he could do, because he would be hopeless. Not in his ability to find a silver lining in his suffering. No, simply in God alone. And friends, isn't that liberating? Isn't that liberating to know that we can simply trust God in the darkest hour? We don't have to pretend. We don't have to say, I am I'm terrified and I'm struggling, but there's a silver lining. We don't have to. And Heman shows us that. That we can just say to God, you know what? I don't like this. Why are you doing this to me, God? And God hears it. And he takes it. So friends, what are we then to make of the song in light of our Christian walk? Well, the answer must start with the one who actually did travel the deepest, darkest paths, the likes of which no man has or ever will. The one who experienced the depths of darkness in Matthew 26, when he said to his disciples, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." The one who was truly forsaken by his friends in his hour of need. The one who experienced the Father's face turned away as he took upon himself the sin of the world. The one who drank the cup of God's wrath for the sin of the world. Who felt the full weight of God's righteous anger that we deserved, not him. In the darkness, Jesus bore the weight of our sin. And Jesus' suffering and death is not just a lesson of faith to us in darkness, but in fact that his suffering brought us the hope of salvation, forgiveness of sin, reconciliation with our Maker, and the hope of eternal life. That eternal life that we hope for with no more darkness, with no more tear-clouded eyes, where all suffering will be done away with. That eternal life and eternal joy in the presence of God that Jesus has won for us. That's what we look forward to because of the one who went through utter darkness for us. You see, friends, we have what the author of the psalm didn't have. We have Christ, the hope of glory, who has paved the way to light and life. Does it mean that we will never experience darkness like this author did? Does it mean that we are exempt from it? No. In the Christian life, we can be overwhelmed with darkness, sometimes momentarily, and sometimes for extended periods. It is actually the normal Christian experience. And so when we're in the darkness, and perhaps we don't even have words to say to God, or if we're in the darkness and we do have words to say to God, but we're too scared to say them, well, this psalm says to us, speak to God. Speak to him. Because he is the one who will never leave you nor forsake you. Oh, he knows what's going on in our subconscious. He knows how we are feeling. And he's the God of heaven who wants us to say what's going on. When we find ourselves in darkness, and we will, yes, we look to the cross because that reminds us of the hope to come. And even when our experience suggests all is lost, well, then we're reminded that it's not. See, friends, we can cling to God in the darkness. Faith in him will, when all seems lost and impossible, is a sure and steadfast faith. And it doesn't have to be a faith that declares all the promises of God in that situation. It just needs to be a faith that says, God, I need you. God, where are you? We can cling to God in the darkness. And with this song, we are also set free to have open and honest words with God. Tim Keller says this, that Psalm 88 teaches us that the life of faith does not guarantee an escape from the deepest darkness. The psalmist cries out to God from the depths of despair, modeling for us how to pour out our hearts to God, even in our darkest moments. See, God is teaching us that it's okay to be honest with him. In fact, he delights in it. He wants us to speak to him. He's here with us anyway, and he knows. And friends, do you know what? God can handle our complaints, our frustrations, our tantrums. Because not only is he acquainted with our sufferings, but he also understands our weakness in dealing with them. And you know what? When we come to God, and we're honest with him, well, the God of eternal all comfort, who is ever present, will be with us to give us light and relief. Friends, isn't that a comfort? Isn't it a comfort to know that these words reflect the real experience of real life Christians? And we don't have to pretend. We have a God who says, come and speak. Come and trust me, even in your darkest hours. Stop praying those prayers that you think will make God happier, and pray the prayers of your heart in the darkness. Friends, you may be here this morning, and you may be going through a dark path, but you don't know of the hope in the midst of that darkness. Well, friends, today is an invitation from God to say, come to the one who suffered in darkness for your sake. Because ultimately, that's the only place where there is true hope. A hope that all the darkness that we experience in this life will be swept away. Let's close with these words. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. And so we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal.